All right, so Damon, welcome to the call. And I want to start by asking you to give me some background on yourself and how you came to be known as America's renegade sex expert.
Well, I certainly didn't expect to be doing this. I was an engineer. I was a nerd. All that kind of stuff. Never expected to find myself doing this. So, anyway, things were pretty normal for me. Yeah, and I got married when I was about 28.
Mm-hmm.
Married a real nice girl. We had a great time. We had two beautiful kids that are doing great. And after, and the sex was pretty good. Sex was every night.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty good. We always had simultaneous orgasms in intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
And had sex every night. Things were going great. Things were going good, not great, but they were going good. And then after 8 years of marriage, she cheated on me and left. And I had custody of the two children, and I was on my own. So what I figured, you know, I'm going to be going back into the dating world. I've always found human sexuality to be interesting. I'm going to get really good at it. I'm going to figure it out. Probably won't get married again. I'm just going to be having fun. And I'll just see what's possible.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there in the dating world, started dating girls, started pushing the envelope, started trying stuff. Also, I went to the bookstores and I read all the books on human sexuality, but I really didn't learn anything new necessarily. So I started trying stuff, and then some really wacky shit started happening. And also at the same time, because my wife left me for a bad boy, I figured I'm going to figure out what these bad boys got. How come, I've always looked at the bad boys that those lucky fuckers, man, they get all the girls and they treat girls like shit. What are they doing? What are they doing? How can I reverse engineer that? You know, being the engineer, I had to reverse engineer it.
Mm-hmm.
So I studied the bad boys, started doing what they were doing, which was very effective. So I learned what the bad boys are doing right and what the bad boys are doing wrong, what the nice guys are doing right, what the nice guys are doing wrong. And sexually, I was kind of pushing the envelope, and I discovered a bunch of very interesting things about female sexuality that I had no idea was true before. Because, you know, like me and everybody else, we've all been raised with social programming, which is not truth.
Mm-hmm.
So I went out there in reality, and I found truth in reality. And it was very interesting. It was very different from anything that I had even imagined before. So then when the internet came out in the late 90s, I started writing about it on the internet, about what I had discovered, you know, trying to see if any other guys out there had done the same thing. And I started getting a lot of guys emailing me, asking me for more clarification. How did you do that? How can I do that to my girl? Mm-hmm. And I just started writing about it. And then I had written so much, I had a whole book. So I started a company and started selling one book. And that was, 16 years ago. And that's what I've been doing full time since then.
All right. So I wanted to ask you next, have you always been a highly sexual guy? You said you were having sex every night in your marriage, even during your nerdier days. That's a pretty good amount of sex. Were you a highly sexual guy who had some good basic confidence with women, or did you used to really struggle with this?
Well, I've always been a sexual human.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have any hang-ups about sexuality. I'm very fortunate that my parents did not raise me in a really strict religious upbringing or did not pound any bad beliefs into me. They just never talked about sex. And that's probably just as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they were a good example of a happy marriage, but they certainly did not talk about sex. So I didn't get any bad sexual programming. I've always been a sexual person. but I have never been good with women. I've never been the talker. I've always been an introvert. But, you know, when I can tell a girl likes me, you know, it's obvious to me that she likes me, I know where to go with that. You know, you just follow your natural instincts, and eventually you're going to be sleeping with her. I would find that, you know, by the third date, you're sleeping with her.
Mm-hmm.
If she goes out on 3 dates with you, it's eventually going to happen. I was not necessarily good with women, but in a relationship, I'm perfectly comfortable with a woman. I'm perfectly comfortable with a woman that it's obvious to me that she likes me, and I can go with that. So,
well, I guess you could say, I'm sorry, go on.
You know, one thing I had heard is, you know, in my dating life, I had heard that women don't like sex as much as men. Women trade sex for love, or they trade sex for gifts or whatever. But, and you know, in some cases, I saw that in women that I dated. But in most of the women that I dated, like my college sweetheart, she had to have it every day. We get it on every day. And then my wife, she had to have it every day. And I thought, well, and maybe I'm just lucky. Maybe I just found some girls that are highly sexual. Mm-hmm. But I found out later after my divorce, that's pretty much true for most women. And so women are actually much more sexual than I ever imagined.
And I think a lot of men really misunderstand that. They underestimate how sexual women are and how much they want and need this. Most guys just don't know how to bring it out of them or give them what they want in that sense.
Oh, so true. So true. Yes. You mentioned two very important things. One, men need to understand how very sexual women are. And two, the man needs to bring that out in the woman. Now, the woman cannot initiate sex because that would define her as a slut. The woman doesn't want to be the dom in the bedroom, meaning she doesn't want to be the one calling the shots, that kind of thing, because women typically prefer to be sexually submissive. So it's up to the man. It's up to the man to lead. It's up to the man to initiate things. And in order for her to fully realize her sexuality, to fully enjoy her sexuality, she can only do that with a man who will lead. Basically bring that out in her.
Well, what's your relationship status now, David? Are you single these days? Are you married again?
I did not marry again. I've been divorced now for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
I did not marry again. I have had some wonderful relationships with some wonderful women. Had great relationships. Some of them were just a whole lot of fun. I tend to be a serial monogamist. I'll have a relationship for a few years, then another girl in a relationship for a few years. And right now, I'm playing the field.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well.
not necessarily by choice. You know, I'd love to have a regular girlfriend and do all the really advanced stuff.
Uh-huh.
Because you really have to be in a relationship to do the really advanced stuff. But right now, I'm just playing the field and having a lot of fun with it.
Well, a term that I use a lot and sort of as a topic of this interview is the idea of sexual confidence. And it's my contention that when you know you've got skills and knowledge, you know, of women's sexuality, and you know you can really deliver sexually with a woman, it gives you far more confidence to meet women and to date women, to know that when things do wind up on the third date or whenever back in the bedroom, that you'll be able to deliver and blow her mind. I think a lot of the reasons why guys have hang-ups about approaching women and getting the ball rolling is because they lack that confidence. You know, if they actually do succeed and get her back home with them, they lack the confidence to really come through. So I would say in your case with your depth of knowledge and so forth, you sort of got an ace up your sleeve when you are out there playing the field, wouldn't you say?
Well, all right. Now this is an interesting concept. All right, you would think now David Shade would be very confident when he brings a woman into the bedroom the first time. Well, and yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
But, you know, I, like way back in my early 20s, before I was married, when I would date a girl, I did not necessarily feel inadequate or anything like that, but I didn't necessarily feel confident either. I just wanted to get laid. Mm-hmm. Right. So I get a girl on a third date. We finally end up back at my house and we'd have sex. I go, great, I got laid. But it's not like I went into it with a lot of confidence, and it's not like I went into it with a lot of apprehension either. Because, like I said, I did not have any screwed up beliefs about sexuality. Now, when I was in my early 20s, I did not have problems like a lot of men have now with ED and PE.
Mm-hmm.
I did not have those problems. And the reason is because I grew up before there was the internet. I did not grow up with porn. So I didn't have porn to grow up with. And I didn't get fucked up by porn.
Interesting.
Yeah, I would.
So you would put a lot of blame. You put a lot of blame on porn and just how prevalent it is now. It's on our. You've got every porn movie ever created on at your fingertips for free on the internet now, and you put blame on that for guys experiencing problems sexually.
Yeah, that's a very big part of it. That's a very big part of it. I did not have that when I grew up. All I had was my imagination, you know, so I go to sleep at night and I'd imagine that I'm with a girl who's really cute and she really enjoys being with me and we have sex and we have simultaneous orgasms, of course, because it's in my imagination. And what I did not realize at the time is I was practicing success while having an orgasm. So I was practicing success. So then when I date girls in my early 20s, we'd have sex. We'd always have simultaneous orgasms. That's another thing. How come I always have simultaneous orgasm with a woman? And I spent years trying to answer that question, but it always be simultaneous orgasm. So,
well, that's not an accident. That's something on your end.
I'm sorry, say that again.
I say that, well, it's not an accident that that's happening, you know. There's got to be more to it.
Yeah, I later realized it's actually energy between the two people that synchronizes them and creates a simultaneous orgasm. But I didn't have any fuck-ups going in, right? Mm-hmm. I didn't have any fuck-ups, but, you know, I wasn't cocky with confidence and I wasn't nervous with apprehension. Also, I didn't realize that my cock was not a really huge cock. It wasn't until porn came out in the mid-90s that I wrote, oh, I don't have a huge cock. Mm-hmm. You know, because men always compare themselves to the porn stars and the videos. So, I had no idea how I rated among other men, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, in my 20s, I didn't necessarily go into anything with a great deal of confidence, and I didn't necessarily go in with nervous apprehension. I was completely focused on the girl, so I was present with the girl, as they would say, and things worked out. Now, interestingly, in college, if I was dating a girl and she could not have a vaginal orgasm in intercourse, I dump her and I get a new girlfriend until I found one that could have vaginal orgasms in intercourse. Now, it wasn't until many years later that I figured, oh, I can teach her how to do that. And I did that after my divorce. Now, after all of these years of training, so I have a lot of confidence when I bring a girl into the bedroom now, but and then, of course, you know, I go through all the steps. Okay, we got to make sure, is she clitorally orgasmic? Check. All right. Is she vaginally orgasmic? No. Oh, okay. Well, make her vaginally orgasmic. All right, now, can she squirt? No? Okay, let's make her squirt. And I'll do all these things. Then I'll teach her how to have an orgasm on command, on and on. Then I can kind of just let go of that and just enjoy myself. So actually, being an expert, it just it complicates things. It's just not so natural anymore. It complicates things, but yeah, I still very much enjoy it.
Do you tell them, okay, let's see if you can have a clitoral orgasm. We're going to do this, this, and this.
No,
you don't lead them through it. You just
no.
Okay.
No, I don't. No, I do not tell them what their deficiencies are. I don't tell them that kind of thing. But I make a mental note. Okay, I'm going to work on that.
Uh huh.
And then I'll bring them through certain experiences where I can make those things happen.
Gotcha. Now, you became well known for a program you put together called Sexual Power. How do you define sexual power, and what are some of the traits of a sexually powerful man?
All right. So first of all, sexual power is a catchy name. I had that domain name for many years. I knew that I was going to do something with it. Now, years ago, when I decided I was going to put out a program to help men with ED and PE, I decided I'm going to call that sexual power. So, first of all, it's just a catchy name.
Mm-hmm.
Now, sexual power, as defined in that program, teaching men who deal with ED and PE, it's basically about being personally powerful. It's about being comfortable with your own masculinity, with your own sexuality, with your woman's sexuality. And there are a number of belief systems that we go through in that program. And it doesn't make one necessarily sexually powerful, but it's a very catchy name that men can relate to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, once they get beyond their ED and PE, I don't know if they necessarily call themselves sexually powerful, but they can tell their buddies about it, and they can describe it that way.
Well, you mentioned earlier about the importance of being able to lead women. And I think that's a form of sexual power. If you have the confidence and the ability to lead a woman to an orgasm, you know, to lead her through the whole sexual experience.
Yeah, that's very true. That's very true. And leading a woman is critically important. Because like I mentioned earlier, she can't do it herself. She can't lead. She's relying on you to lead. She cannot experience all the things that she wants to experience unless you lead. Now, interestingly, I was never an expert on male sexuality. Okay, mm-hmm. I've always been an expert on female sexuality. And I was helping men to give women orgasms. But what ended up happening is these men would tell me that, all right, so they did this and this, but they can't get up. Or when they have intercourse, they would come too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know at the time what to tell them. I'm not an expert on male sexuality. I can't help you there. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to concentrate on your woman. You need to do this to make her clitorally orgasmic, you need to do this to make her vaginally orgasmic, you need to do this to make her responsive, you need to do this to make her submissive. And I would run through all of these tasks. These are the things that I want you to do. And I want you to be completely focused on her. And in a lot of cases, I tell the men, don't even go to intercourse. You've got to get these other things working, and you don't need intercourse to get them working. And then what would happen is these guys would come back to me and they say, hey, my ED went away.
Mm-hmm.
And then what would happen is about 3 months later, they come back and they say, all right, David, I got a new problem. It's like I can pump and pump and pump forever, and I never have an orgasm. And I said, sorry, dude, no refund. And then I tell them something like, well, you know, now you have to get selfish and tell yourself to come. But they would get so focused on the girl that what would happen is they would completely lose any kind of self-consciousness, because with ED comes a great deal of self-consciousness. So if they're completely focused on the girl, they lose all their self-consciousness. They're not self-conscious, they're focused on her. And because the subconscious mind is completely, absolutely in control of sexuality, all of a sudden he has an erection. And then they proceed to intercourse and everything works great. So then when guys would come to me and they say, hey, David, help me, I have ED. And I said, well, concentrate on the girl. It worked for everybody else. Mm-hmm. They do that. It worked for them. Then years later, I created a forum. There was a lot of activity in the forum, a lot of very good discussions. And then there was one discussion about ED and PE. And a lot of very interesting things came up. And one of my clients, a man named Joe Matthew, who helped me write Sexual Power, he pointed out the porn problem, how porn is such a big contributing problem to ED and PE. And I did not believe it at first, but I was convinced. You read the data, it's absolutely true. It's all discussed in my forum, and it's discussed in that program too. So guys would come to us and they say they have ED. So I'd ask them, well, do you wake up in the morning with wood? And they say, yes. All right. Well, it's not a physical thing. Can you get it up to porn? They say, yes. All right. Well, it's not a physical thing.
Mm-hmm.
But you can get it up to porn, but you can't get it up when you're with a real live naked woman. So what's going on here? And then it was brought to my attention how porn fucks things up. So I looked into this. I followed all the research that Joe Matthew pointed out to me, and there is a mountain of evidence describing exactly how and why porn will fuck up a man and will absolutely destroy any hope of getting an erection when he's with a real woman.
Can you explain some of that to me? I'm very curious myself. Exactly how does porn destroy a guy's ability to perform with women?
Because basically in porn, it's all about the dopamine of the novelty of porn. And then when that novelty wears off, the guy has to have more dopamine. So he looks for more novelty in porn, which draws him in even deeper into porn. More novel, more bizarre, and then they spiral into an abyss that mm-hmm. they don't even want to admit to. And basically, they're addicted to pixels, two-dimensional pictures.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're with a real woman, they don't feel that dopamine rush, and they do not get an erection.
Mm-hmm.
Also, by then, they have built up a great deal of shame around the novelty of porn and what they've been doing in porn, and they absolutely lose touch with reality, because when you're with a real woman, naked in the bedroom, it's completely different than porn. Now, in porn, you'll probably notice that the women often are in charge. The man, certainly the viewer of porn is a passive observer. So it's the woman in the video who's being the dom. The guy jacking off the porn is a passive observer. And that is practicing all the wrong things.
Uh-huh.
And they've actually shown how porn actually physically changes the brain just like drugs do.
That is very interesting.
It's fucking scary, man.
Yes.
And then I'm proof because I was raised before there was porn, and I did not have any ED or PE.
Well, you mentioned PE a few times, and I want to talk about that for a moment, because with ED, you're advising guys to focus on the woman, right? To get out of their own heads and focus on the woman. But I would think that for guys who suffer from premature ejaculation, focusing on the woman might be a bad thing. It might exacerbate their problem. What's the difference between helping a guy get over his ED and helping him get over premature ejaculation?
All right. Because in my company, I have a coach named Lena. Lena is a brilliant woman in her early 30s who coaches our clients when they need individual coaching. And she pointed out something very interesting. One thing that we try to teach guys when they first come to us is that women actually like sex. That's the first thing we have to fix because men don't believe that. Women actually like to have sex. Now, what ends up happening a lot of times is men, before they actually come to grips with that, so they have sex with a woman, and they think, she doesn't like this, so I have to hurry up and come before she objects. So that's just one of many reasons that will totally fuck up the subconscious mind. And the subconscious mind is in complete and absolute control of ejaculation. You cannot override it with the conscious mind. And the subconscious mind does not operate logically. The subconscious mind's directive number one is to protect you. And it will do whatever it takes to protect you. If the subconscious mind is steadfast on procreation, it's going to make you come too quickly. If the subconscious mind does not believe that women like sex, it's going to come quickly and get out before she objects.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we did is we told men, do not think about your PE. If you think about your PE, you're going to come too early. If you think about lasting longer, that's going to make you come too early. Stop thinking about yourself. Concentrate on her. And when you're concentrating on her, you're doing a lot of other things. You're doing dirty talk. You're being dominant. You're doing all the other things that I teach you to do. And you forget about yourself. You're completely focused on her. You do that long enough. Oh, and you give her lots and lots of uncountable wild screaming orgasms. And the PE is just going to go away. Because you are indirectly reprogramming your subconscious mind. And there is no way to do it. You cannot have intellectual logic discourse with your subconscious mind. It does not work.
Well, we covered ED, we talked about PE a bit. I would think one of the third, maybe the number three biggest problem that a lot of guys face is losing their libido, especially as they age a bit. So a lot of guys just start losing their sex drive over time. I would think that, again, porn is probably a big culprit with this. So what would your advice be to a guy who is with a woman and he wants to please her, he wants to have a great sexual life with her, she wants the sex, she's ready for it, but he just doesn't have that inner drive to bang her like he used to, or to have sex at all really anymore?
I'll bet you a $2 bill that if you talk to any married man who says that his libido has gone down with his wife, I bet you $2 bill he's watching porn on the side.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing I suspect. And I've seen that a lot in my work. Can you fucking believe it? Married men, they're watching porn.
Imagine that.
Yeah, and then their wife complains that he not interested in sex anymore. Well, porn fucked them up. All right, so first thing, quit watching porn. Now, I'm 62 years old. My libido has gone down, and thank God for that. I can actually get some fucking work done now.
I hear you.
I think the most important thing about keeping libido going through the ages is health. You have to have health, and that requires regular exercise. If you quit exercising, your testosterone is going to drop out, on and on and on, and your libido is going to drop out. You've got to remain healthy, and that means you got to keep exercising. But I am not an expert on keeping the libido going into the 60s and 70s and 80s. But I have some clients, man. I got to tip my hat to that. I got some 80-year-old guys who are still doing it.
Uh-huh.
Good for them. But, you know, they exercise. They're healthy. They maintain their health.
Are you have you tried testosterone therapy or any of that?
No. I'm not going to be doing any testosterone. No, I have not. I'm actually not terribly worried about it. No. Now I'm playing the field, so I can last between dates. Now, if I get a girlfriend and we meet regularly, then I am going to rely on good old-fashioned emotional connection. Believe it or not, for me, the biggest aphrodisiac is emotional connection. If I have emotional connection with a woman, I'll be able to get it on.
Uh-huh.
I might not be able to ejaculate every time, but that's okay.
What's your view?
I'll be able to get it up and...
Yeah, that's the key thing. Yeah,
I'll be able to get up and just pound the shit out of her, and then she'll come a whole bunch of times, and then maybe tomorrow I'll ejaculate.
What's your view on Viagra? Do you have guys who?
I've experimented with Viagra.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I've tried a lot of things.
Yes, but I'm saying
I would not recommend Viagra. All right. Here is one problem with Viagra. Let's say you take a bunch of Viagra, all right, and you get on with your girlfriend for like 2 hours, and then you two fall asleep. That Viagra is going to keep working while you sleep, and you could sleep for 8 hours with an erection. And while you have an erection, blood is constrained. You do not get blood flow through the penis to varying degrees. And if you go that long enough, cells in the penis will start to die.
It's a frightening thought.
So it's a terribly frightening thought. So that... When they say do not let an erection go for more than 4 hours, they fucking mean it, dude, because your cock's going to start dying.
Mm. Well, in the bigger picture of things, how important to a happy relationship is a great sex life? You know, we talked earlier a little bit about the fact that women actually want and need sex a lot more than a lot of men realize. But do you think that
I can give you the answer to that.
Okay.
A healthy sex life in a relationship is critical. I'll tell you the quickest way to dump a woman, give her lame sex. She'll be gone in no time.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Pure and simple.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, you know, this is not 100% of the time. I mean, like my parents are still very happily married, but they're not doing it anymore. I can assure you that. They're 86. I know they're not doing it anymore, but they're very happily married.
Right.
But then they're 86.
Sure,
I can try to do that with a woman who's 36. it ain't gonna fly, man.
Yeah, I don't see too many 86-year-olds listening to this interview. I think that we're speaking more to a lot of guys who don't want to fuck things up. You know, they finally have wound up with a woman they really love, and they want to stay with her. They want to keep her happy. These guys have got to be aware that if they can't satisfy her in bed and hopefully give her the best sex she's ever had, they run the risk of losing her.
Oh, they will lose her if they don't give her a thorough professional fucking.
Uh-huh.
They will lose her. You know, she'll go on the next one. Yeah. Guys are cheap. Just go the next one.
Well, why do you think those women are leaving? Is it because they seek a more confident guy? Do women, when they do wind up with a guy who has a cock who blows their mind, do they get chemically and physically addicted to this guy, the sex? Why are women ready to leave a relationship and go with another guy based on sex? If the first guy is not giving her what she needs sexually, what is it that makes her leave for the other guy?
All right. What is it that makes her leave? That is there's a lot of answers to that. I got a whole lot to say about that. Here's an interesting thing that would happen in my work is men would come to me and they were married for many years, and I could tell by talking to the guy that, and they're divorced now because she left. And then I could tell by talking to the guy that his wife never actually had a vaginal orgasm in intercourse when she was married to him. Now, she may not actually know this at a conscious level, but at a subconscious level, she always seeks that. Now, after my divorce, I talked to a lot of recently divorced women, and I asked them about the guy that she got with after the divorce. You know, I'd ask her about her marriage, why she left, then I'd ask her about the guy that she got with after her divorce. In a lot of cases, it was the bad boy that she got with after her divorce that gave her her first vaginal orgasm. So then I started thinking, all right, vaginal orgasm is very important. And then later, through a bunch of other things, I realized it is extremely important. And women may or may not know on a conscious level that they want really hot sex, but on a subconscious level, they are all very aware of it. Now, if they're not getting it, if their subconscious mind is not being satisfied, the subconscious mind will sabotage the relationship, i.e. the marriage, and she'll end up ending the marriage, and then she'll get with a bad boy, and he'll be very dominant, and he'll be throwing her around, manhandling her, telling her what to do, dirty talking, and she has vaginal orgasms. And then she becomes extremely addicted to the bad boy. But because he's a bad boy, he's an inconsiderate jerk, treats her like shit. So she tries to break up with him, but she keeps going back. She goes through this terrible emotional roller coaster. It's a fucking mess. And it's because she's addicted to the hot sex. So finally, eventually, she does break up with him because she just cannot go through the emotions anymore. And she finally grows up. And she finally realizes what she has to have. Now she's got to figure it out. And then she goes looking for a good guy who can give her that kind of sexual experience. Good fucking luck, lady.
Mm-hmm.
So what I do is I teach good guys how to be even more exciting than a bad boy.
Mm-hmm.
And it works really, really well.
Yeah. Yeah. I assume you also coached guys on how to persuade women to try new things. What about a couple that has a pretty vanilla, bland sex life The guy wants to try new things. He wants to get his wife or his girlfriend to try new things. How does this work?
All right, let me make something very clear. You do not talk a woman into anything. First of all, it's not going to work. Secondly, that's not the way to go about it. The first thing that the man has to do, he needs to fucking take control. And that's what men just are not doing. It's what the bad boys do, just easily, effortlessly. Bad boys take control. Mm-hmm. Nice guys, yeah, not so much. The good guys, they got to take control. They got to look, this is the way it is. Do this, and you take a baby step at a time. One very small baby step at a time where you are in control. You tell her to do something. She's expected to do it. You reward her proper behavior, and you ratchet up from there, a little baby step at a time. Now, for some women, it's going to take longer than others, but they can all get there. So you take control one step at a time. You never have to talk a woman into anything. It's already deep inside her. She already has those desires. She wants to be a highly, ruthlessly sexual creature. Of course, her social programming tells her she should not be, but that's what she wants to be. And you ratchet it up one little baby step at a time, and you can take that all the way. You can go anywhere with that.
Now,
have any specific examples?
Well, things like
what you would want to talk a woman into doing.
Well, the two big ones are, you know, oral sex and anal sex. A lot of guys think their woman just doesn't
oral
like
oral sex and anal sex.
Yeah.
All right. You know how to get a woman to swallow?
Tell me.
Give her the fucking ride of her life.
Uh-huh.
She will lap it up. Mm-hmm. She will absolutely lap it up. You don't have to talk her into doing it. Give her the fuck of her life over and over again. Give her that wild sexual experience that she wants. You don't even have to ask. You know, you don't even have to tell her. She will go down and she will swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because she will be very appreciative. So you can do everything else and completely stay away from oral sex. Completely stay away from it. You can make anything else happen. All these other things, she's going to be the one to go down.
And with anal, do you take things a little bit more?
Anal,
yeah.
But yeah, there's actually a very specific sequence to go through to turn her on to anal sex. And it's not, hey, honey, can I fuck your ass? All right, that will not work. What I have done and what my clients have had great luck with is you take a little baby step at a time, and you do association bridging. So let me explain. So one of the things I teach guys to do is with their middle finger, they can rub the inside of her vagina against the front wall. And that's a very sensitive spot of the vagina. So you can cause a very powerful orgasm with your middle finger. Now, at the same time, you can also rub her clitoris at the same time that you're rubbing her vagina, and you can bridge the pleasure between those two. Another thing you can do with a very well lubricated finger is while you are rubbing your middle finger against the front of her vagina and giving her powerful vaginal orgasm after powerful vaginal orgasm, is very lightly you can stimulate her anus with an extra finger. And she's not going to mind, okay, because she's just having these extremely powerful vaginal orgasms, and you're screaming at her to keep coming, etc. which she's going to do. And then you associate touching her anus with her having a powerful vaginal orgasm. And then in a different session at some other time, some other night, you may be rubbing her clitoris while at the same time touching her anus. So you give her a powerful clitoral orgasm while you're touching her anus. So it associates clitoral orgasm to touching of her anus. Then another time, you, with your middle finger, you're giving her a very powerful vaginal orgasm. Maybe this time you're rubbing the back of her vagina with your middle finger. And then with a very well-lubricated thumb, you're touching her anus. Over time, you baby step this up and up to where you have your finger inside her anus while she's having these powerful orgasms. And then any stimulation of the anus is associated with very powerful orgasms. And then with time, there's more stimulation of the anus and less stimulation of the vagina or the clitoris. Next thing you know, you're giving her anal orgasms with your finger. And then on a different night, butt plugs. You can go up to a slender dildo. Then one night, you're just super, super dominant, super powerful. She's really charged up from a lot of emotional stuff you did all day long. And she's super excited. Then you just tell her. And you tell her, I'm going to fuck your ass. And you will get no objection.
That would seem to make a lot of sense. Yeah.
I'm with that. Works.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I want to, we're reaching the end of our interview, David. I want to get some specifics from you as far as techniques and tips that you would give clients of yours. First of all, I want to preface it by asking you, do you really feel that basically every woman has the ability to do all these things? They have the ability to have these vaginal orgasms one after the next. They have the ability to squirt. So that if you're coaching a client, you don't need to know specifics about their partner. Because you know that all women, if you do this, this, and this, you will get X, Y, Z results.
All right. Two very important things. First of all, when I'm coaching a client, he needs to understand there's nothing wrong with his woman. It's all his fault.
Okay.
I first of all, I hold the man completely responsible for the relationship and for the sexuality. There's nothing wrong with his woman. Or you know what he's going to do? He's going to blame it on his woman.
Yeah. Well, she's cold. She doesn't like to give blowjobs.
Well, she's not getting fucked right.
Yeah.
Or she's with the wrong guy. I tell you, you put her in front of a bad boy who fucks her right, she'll be sucking that cock dry.
Mm-hmm.
Now, secondly, yeah. Every woman is capable of a vaginal orgasm. They all have a vagina and they all have a brain. They're capable of a vaginal orgasm.
Uh-huh.
You can give a woman a nipple orgasm. You can give a woman a fucking big toe orgasm. Okay. You can rub any part of a woman and give her an orgasm if you do all the right association bridging.
Uh-huh.
All right, but the vagina is a sexually sensitive organ. You can rub the vagina and she can have a vaginal orgasm. But a bunch of mental stuff has to be there. You have to be in control of the mental. You have to lead her mind. Now, given that, there are some women, it's just not worth the fucking effort. Because they have very deep emotional issues. Maybe they have a really, really unhealthy self-esteem. It is not worth the trouble. So another thing I tell men is success begins by selecting wisely. First, select the right woman, and everything will work. If you do everything correctly, it will all work.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, the success of an ongoing long-term relationship is going to be dependent upon her self-esteem. So, select wisely. But given that, yes, to answer your question, yes, every woman is capable of a vaginal orgasm.
And squirting?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So if you were speaking to a room full of guys and you have no knowledge of who they're dating, who they're fucking, do you have a few techniques that you can share with them as a group that should work regardless of who they're sleeping with?
Here's one that just worked great for me, which I accidentally fell upon. When I was 36 and recently divorced, I actually started dating a 22-year-old girl. You know, just a fluke, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, lucky me. But she had never had a vaginal orgasm. Now, she had had a long-term boyfriend before that for like a year. I'm sure he tried everything. He couldn't get anything to work. And I tried everything. I tried intercourse. I tried rubbing her G-spot.
Mm-hmm.
I tried everything. I couldn't give her a vaginal orgasm. Well, one night I was just experimenting.
I'm sorry, David, just to ask you, just to clarify, when you say vaginal orgasm, you mean with penetration, is that correct? Like right. Intercourse.
Intercourse.
Intercourse, gotcha. All right, please continue.
Yeah. Well, that's the, what do you call it, the holy grail?
Mm-hmm.
Vaginal orgasm in intercourse? That's what every woman wants. Trust me on this one. Okay, that's what everyone wants. They want a vaginal orgasm in intercourse, if they know it consciously or not. Don't let any feminist tell you that she does not want a vaginal orgasm in intercourse.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say 85% of women want a vaginal orgasm in intercourse, whether they're consciously aware of it or not, and that'll pretty much cover it. All right, so let's say you're with one of those 85% women. Yeah, the holy grail is to give her a vaginal orgasm in intercourse, and here's how you go about it. First of all, you have to give her a vaginal orgasm, and intercourse is not going to do it. It is not going to do it. She's been fucked many times before, and it never worked. You got to do something different. Now, I actually accidentally fell upon this when I was dating a 22-year-old girl. And one night, I just decided I'm just going to take my time. I'm going to experiment. I mean, she's not going anywhere. We like touching each other. So I put my middle finger as deep in her vagina as I could, and I pressed against the front of her vagina. So let's say, for example, she's lying on her back. I'm sitting next to her with my palm up, and I press my middle finger deep in her vagina, and I press up towards her stomach. That's the front of her vagina. I started pressing really hard there, and I got a very powerful response from her, like I'd never seen before. So I thought, ooh, I'll keep doing this, right? And she had a vaginal orgasm, her very first vaginal orgasm. Oh, by the way, that was actually her very first orgasm, period.
Wow.
She'd never had – can you fucking believe that?
Wow.
You don't see that much, right?
Yeah.
That's actually her very first orgasm. Now, once I got that to happen, I could easily make her orgasm in any fashion. I could rub her clitoris. I could get an orgasm. I could rub her G-spot. I could get an orgasm. I could have intercourse with her, and she would have a vaginal orgasm. All right. But that's not typically the case. So anyway, I didn't know what to call that, but I stuck my finger in as deep as I could, so I called it the deep spot. Probably not the right word for it, but that's what I called it. So mm-hmm. It became famous as the deep spot. But that's not typically what you run into. You typically run into women that are clitorally dependent. I mean, they can only have an orgasm if their clitoris is also being stimulated. Or even worse, they are vibrator dependent. They can only have a orgasm if they're using a vibrator on their clitoris. And believe it or not, porn fucks up women too.
Mm.
but not to the extent of men, because women typically watch lesbian porn. That's not necessarily true, but they watch more lesbian porn than men do. At any rate, porn also fucks up women. What you typically find is a woman who's clitorally dependent or vibrator dependent. That's a really tough one to get around. Now I have ways to get around that. Now I have the secret weapon, which men just cannot even fathom, but it fucking works. I accidentally fell upon this too years ago. And that is... right after I was divorced, I had custody of our two children. Because she fucking left. She just fucking left. Go hang out with her bad boy. So I would put my children to bed at 9 o'clock at night, and then I was home alone. I couldn't go out. So what I did is I turned to what was a version of online dating before there was online. It was actually single ads in the newspaper or singles magazines. So I'd answer these single ads, and I'd tell these women, call me after 9 o'clock. Here's my number. So a woman would call me after 9 o'clock, and I'd talk to her. But I knew that I couldn't go out with her, so I had to make something happen over the telephone. So I got really good at building a deep emotional connection and then turning it romantic and then turning it sexual. And I would give women orgasms while they were rubbing their clit talking on the phone with me. But I decided I'm going to push the envelope one night just because it was entertaining. And I was trying to learn new things. I told one woman, keep her free hand behind her head. She had to promise me. And then I would continue on with what I would typically do, which is typically describing what I would do if I were there with her right now. Like kissing this, touching that, licking this, licking that. And I wanted to see how excited I could get her before she would finally beg me to let her touch herself. Well, I wanted to see how far I could go. And she asked me if she can touch herself. I said, no, keep your free hand behind your head. I'd continue on with my narration. And she got more aroused and more aroused, started moaning deeper and deeper. And she had a fucking orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, how did you do that? I said, did you just have an orgasm? She said, yes, how did you do that? I said, where's your free hand? She said, it's still behind my head. I go, holy shit. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the first time I gave a woman an orgasm just by talking to her. So I thought, oh, okay, so now I know that that's possible. How far can I push that? Now, when I would be dating a woman who could not have vaginal orgasms in intercourse, what I would do is I'd step back. On a night that we weren't together, I told her, I'm going to call you at bedtime. I'm going to read you a bedtime story. Okay, so we get on the phone. I tell her, keep her free hand behind her head. I go through all the steps. I describe what I would do if I were there. And I would give her an orgasm without her even touching herself. And then the next night, I go over to her house. I'd rub her deep spot. She'd have a fucking vaginal orgasm. Then I'd fuck her, and she'd have a vaginal orgasm. So then I realized, all right, the key to vaginal orgasm is the mind. Duh. I should have known that, right? So what I will do is I will work on her mental responsiveness. Once I have complete and absolute control of her mental responsiveness, I can make anything happen. And then I can just command her when we're together to come now, and it'll just happen. So I will happen to be rubbing her vagina and tell her to come now, and she'll have a vaginal orgasm. So that's my secret weapon.
Mm-hmm.
So the deep spot, along with making her come over the phone, which I call Think Off.
Think Off?
Those two things. Yeah, Think Off. I know, weird name. I saw it in a magazine once. Women can have an orgasm without touching themselves just by thinking about having an orgasm, and they called it Think Off.
I did not know that.
That's a good name for my new technique. I'll call it Think Off.
I've never heard of that. That's pretty amazing to hear. An orgasm without even being touched. Okay.
Without any touch. Now, years later, like 8 years later, in March of 2000, I learned hypnosis.
Oh.
Now, that's fucking lethal, man.
Really?
So what I would do with hypnosis, and I'd seen this in stage hypnosis show. You go to any stage hypnosis show that's R-rated, you know, the really fun ones. So the hypnotist will have the whole panel up there making them quack like ducks or whatever they do. And eventually, about halfway through the show, the hypnotist will tell everybody on the panel to have an orgasm. And they all have a fucking orgasm, men and women. So I thought, I can use that. Because by then I understood that the way to a woman's sexuality is through her mind. Get control of her mind. Her mind is the most powerful, and then you can do anything. So I learned hypnosis. I learned how to do that. And then right after I learned hypnosis, I had my girlfriend at the time come over. Now get this, you know, I like pushing the envelope. So I gotta think of something really fucking wacky. I mean, really wacky. So I had my girlfriend come over. And she was all excited about being hypnotized because she knew I learned hypnosis. She was excited about being hypnotized. So I told her to sit on the sofa while she's fully clothed. And I hypnotized her. All right. Now, because I'm weird, perverted sicko, I thought, what really weird shit can I make true for her? Because I know I can make anything true for her while she's under hypnosis. So I told her that her clitoris had grown into a penis.
Mm.
And I told her to touch her penis. And I told her that it would feel very good. And she touched her penis, and I said, yeah, because touching your penis makes your penis excited. Your cock gets really hard. Your cock's getting hard and big. And she was touching her penis while she was fully clothed, you know, with her hands in front of her pair of jeans, touching her imaginary penis. Now, because of hypnosis, I know she could feel it. I told her, yeah, stroke your cock. Your cock wants you to stroke it. And she started stroking her cock.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going, holy fucking shit, man. This is way out, weird stuff. But I'm going with it. I said, yeah, your cock wants you to stroke it harder and faster. And she's going at it like a pro, man. She's jacking off like a fucking pro. I said, yeah. Your cock wants to get off. Make your cock get off. And she had a fucking orgasm. And get this. She grunted really deep. What woman grunts deep when they have an orgasm?
That's
don't
wild.
Grunt deep. When, yeah. Men grunt deep when they have an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
She had an orgasm and she grunted really deep like I do when I have an orgasm. When I fuck her.
Mm-hmm.
And then I knew, okay, anything is possible. Now, after I did that, I took her out of hypnosis. I said, okay, you're a normal woman now. Everything's back to normal. And she said, wow, that was really cool. I said, did you actually have an orgasm? She said, yes. And I said, what was that like? She said, oh, I loved it. It's like hardcore naughty.
Wow. That is wild, man.
So anything is possible.
Yeah.
Anything is possible.
Well, let's wrap things up, David, by directing our listeners to learn more about you and your programs.
Yeah, send them to masterfullover.com.
Okay.
Masterful-lover.com. Or just do a Google search on David Shade.
Will do. It was a pleasure talking to you, David. Thank you for doing the call.
It was a pleasure talking to you too, Rob. I appreciate you interviewing me. And it was an honor to be speaking to your clients, sir.
Yes, I think there's a ton of fantastic information in this interview, and I think it'll help guys develop sexual confidence and enjoy happier relationships in the end. You know,
let me talk about sexual confidence. Sexual confidence is a matter of getting rid of all the shame, all the game, all the messed up belief systems. Just getting back to your raw, natural masculinity. It's okay to be masculine. It's okay to be sexual. It's fun when you can look at it that way. You don't need confidence. You just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Well said. So we'll end things on that note. Thank you again, David.